grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Every time the parable of the sower comes up, I have to be honest, it's a hard week for a preacher. Because really, what more are you going to say about it? Now, there's a way that that complaint can be true almost every week. And part of the answer is simply, I love to tell the story. But the sower might be the one parable that still has common purchase. I could tell someone that you're asking me to make bricks without straw, and I get a blank face. Because Moses and the Exodus are no longer a story that all kids learn. But somehow, everybody still hears a sower went out to sow. We've remarked in the recent past that the gospel, according to Matthew, is built around five sermons. The scholars call them discourses of Jesus. And the first two were rather straightforward. The Sermon on the Mount and then the missionary discourse when Jesus sends out the 12 apostles. And now, in life, there are times to be straightforward. And there are times that you have to use a bit of misdirection or mystery. There are men and women who will say, tell it to me straight. And some of them might even mean it. But there are also many that if you tell the story straight, you will get a yawn and they will stop listening halfway through. And the end result will be that they think they know what you said, but they didn't actually hear a thing. And I think that might be the part of the mission that Jesus is at. The straightforward preaching has brought in all that will hear it. So Jesus changes his approach. First, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Yes, the Sermon on the Mount was outside, but much of that early ministry takes place in synagogues or in homes. And what takes place in the home is, in some sense, to the family. The second half of our gospel text today establishes something of a pattern for this part of the ministry. Jesus will say something in parables to the crowds, and then he will give an explanation in the house. More on that shortly. The second change that Jesus does is he told them many things in parables. Gone is the, you have heard it said, but I say to you, of the Sermon on the Mount. Gone is that direct address teaching. And in its place are the parables with their teasing mystery. Now, I wish that our lectionary makers didn't cut out those verses in the middle after the dot, dot, dot. Because I think they're important. In them, the disciples' first question to Jesus upon hearing this is, hey, why are you preaching in parables? And Jesus' answer is not at all what we would desire. We'd like something roughly like what I just hinted at. Some people need to work it out on their own, or they need a puzzle. But that's nowhere in what Jesus said. Jesus divides the world into two groups. The disciples who are hearing him, to you, it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But then he says to those disciples, to the crowds, to them, it has not been given. The purpose of the parables is both to reveal and to hide. To the one who has, more will be given. To the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. The parables are not cute little stories for children. They are mysteries of the kingdom for the more mature. And so Jesus tells the parable of the sower who went out to sow, and it falls on four different types of soils. And then later, with just the disciples, he gives the interpretation. So the straightforward preaching, which should be easily recognizable in our experience of the world, is that when the old story is told, not everyone receives it in the same way. There are those who are not prepared in any way to hear what Christ has done for them, the hard ground. There are those who hear it and accept it, but when the first challenges of the faith appear, they quickly turn away, the rocky soil. There are those who receive it and persist in faith through some trials, but eventually the world proves too much, the thorny ground. Mark that Jesus calls these unfruitful. And finally, there's the good soil, which is fruitful in its variety of yields. So at that simple textual level, the parable is something of a repeat of the missionary discourse. But if that's all it was, why bother? One of the deeper meanings that I think can be teased out of the parable is something that we might not think is always appropriate. The sower is, of course, Christ himself, and the seed is the word of God. And in the parable, the sower is rather nonchalant about where he sows. A careful sower, a good human farmer, wouldn't throw seed on the sidewalk. For that matter, a human farmer would pull up the weeds, know that certain ground is just too rocky, but the divine sower spreads it everywhere and just lets it grow. From this, I think we can say a couple of things. The first is simply that we ourselves are not competent judges of soil. The only way to judge the soil is to observe the fruitfulness. And the only path to fruitfulness is sowing the seed, telling what Jesus has done for all of us. If we did not have a story like this one, I think it would be almost an impossible temptation to be very, very careful with the seed, afraid of wasting the seed or offending the word or some other type of impurity, that we'd build granaries for it, but we'd never actually sow anything. But the lesson here, I think, is that risk, bordering on recklessness in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the call. Go and throw the seed on the sidewalk. The asphalt rose is always the most beautiful. The second thing that I think is reflective of the mystery of the incarnation itself: the sowing takes place in this world. The seed must fall to the ground and die for the plant to spring forth and yield abundantly. Jesus came to this world to give himself, to be the seed that falls to the ground, And he continues to give himself in this world. And because Christ was fruitful, because Christ was faithful unto death, he was raised from the dead. And our fruitfulness is tied directly to his. He's the vine, and we are the branches. We are baptized into his death, so that we too might rise to newness of life. And that opens up another lesson that I think we can take away. The point of sowing is to reap. I want you to notice that on the hard ground, the evil one, Satan, comes and snatches away the word that has been sown on the heart. And on the rocky ground, it's described as having no root in himself. It's our sinful nature, not the word of God in us, that leads us away at the first good opportunity. And it's the cares of the world that can make the thorny ground unfruitful. Our three great enemies, the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature, all have their own different paths, but ultimately they have the same effect. They would all make sure that the harvest is unfruitful. The good soil, the one who hears the word and understands it, bears fruit and yields. A true faith will bear fruit. There's no way around it. Good works will naturally flow from the faith. And part of that true faith is to recognize and understand what the word tells us, that we have these enemies in this world. And if we're not watchful, even what we have will be taken away by them. And that it's all too easy. While that should be a solemn warning, the final thing that I'd take away is the promise. Some seed does fall on good soil. And that seed does fall on good soil will bear fruit. 100, 160, 130. The word of God does not return empty. And that goes not just for good works now, but even more so on that last day. The word of God has come to earth and has been planted in death and has risen from the dead and will yield that uncountable number of saints that the Apostle John saw. The word of God comes to earth and accomplishes its purpose, a harvest to save his elect. And that's you. You're in the house. And to you has been given the secrets of the kingdom. To you has been given the word and the understanding. And not Satan, nor the world, nor even our own sinful nature can rip you away from Christ. Because he's planted you, and he's watered you, and he has brought you up. The seed has fallen on good soil. And you will surely yield a harvest. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen.